Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday. That's pretty good timing with that thing. Hey, Cannabis Kid, how are you?
Doing good, Bellstar. How are you?
I'm doing swell.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a really cool show tonight. It's a long one.
Yeah.
Everyone, go. We were just talking about grabbing cozy seats, and we're in wooden chairs right now. So if you hear a lot of rustling, maybe we're trying to get to the couch.
Getting
as fast
up, walking
as we can.
Around.
Yeah, you know, stretching.
Taking a water break.
Get some tea. Yeah, get some water. We've got a really cool show. We've got some really cool songs and audio clips to play for you tonight. We have a very special guest, the United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce, President Thomas Lito. We'll be on air in just a little bit here with his friends. Well, we would like to actually tell you a little bit about Weed Day Wednesday.
So welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one radio podcast about all things medical cannabis.
And boy, howdy. We're not there yet. Skipping ahead.
Well, we have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about everything and anything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world
at
large.
Giant world. And maybe even Mars. Who knows? We landed.
You know.
We could have set up a transmission.
The dark side of the moon. Who knows?
For Weed's Day, right there on Mars.
Yeah.
You can call 646-915-8421. Tell your friends to do that. Email or blog your questions to have them aired weekly. We would like to thank TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com for hosting this special show tonight, along with certifications. You will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, education, all things education related to medical cannabis. Check out www.TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com, and there is a link right there.
Find us on Facebook and like us.
Yeah, like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
That would be good. That would be good.
Yeah.
If you go to the website, there's all sorts of places to like us. There's all sorts of little fun pictures to click. And
also listen to our previous podcast on Weed's Day Wednesday on iTunes.
Yes, you do iTunes.
We've got a lot of good information on there that, you know, if you're a new listener,
right.
Check it out, because we've definitely got some doctors' forums on there, some growers'
legal
forums,
growers' forums.
I mean, if there's any information that you're wanting to look at.
Future dispensary owners of Tucson's been on there. Yay, I hear. Hopefully, fingers and toes crossed, we'll have some dispensaries open soon here. Since we have a long show, and we have, I said before, I'm going to say it again, the United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce President and friends is coming on. Thomas Lito will be on. But I want to actually read a little local news. The Tucson Weekly, Mr. J.M. Smith at TucsonWeekly.com, puts out every week an article on medical cannabis. And I don't know if all of you world at largers, Martians, and Tucsonans know, but you should check it out. It's usually like around page 55,
MJ.
60.
Yeah. Medical MJ.
And you can check it out online too in the opinion section. Mm-hmm. But he wrote a little article, and the kid and I will take turns. I love saying that. We'll take turns reading a little bit of this, because I think
that. You shortened it up for me, huh?
I did. I think we're going to probably discuss a lot of what's going on, and that is pot at the polls. So Mr. Smith says, in a perfect world, you would be able to walk into a store and openly buy your medical cannabis at will, slapping down cash in exchange for goods and services the way God, our founding forefathers, and the voters intended. But we live in Arizona, which by and large is pretty awesome, but sometimes sucks a little compared to other states, especially when our governor and attorney general get in the way of those voters I mentioned earlier. Well, it seems like we might soon have a perfect medical marijuana world just a few states away, maybe even just a few hundred miles away. Voters in Washington, Oregon, Colorado will decide November 6th whether to make pot legal under their respective state laws, and not just for medical use, but for everybody. So Washington's initiative measure number 502, sos.wa.gov, oh my goodness, I'm going to tell you
there's
to go to, yeah, holy cow, go to TucsonWeekly.com.
Or we can even post it.
Yeah, we'll post it. I'll put it up on, we'll have Tumbleweeds put up there. But it's a huge number. You can go and actually check the initiative out. They would allow, Washington would allow people to buy up to an ounce of buds, a pound of marijuana-infused product in solid form, butter, or 72 ounces in liquid. You would also be allowed to grow your own. Licenses to produce or sell cannabis in retail stores would cost $1,250, and the grow operations and retail outlets would have to be 1,000 feet from schools, playgrounds, recreation centers, child care centers, public parks, transit centers, and libraries. Good luck finding that piece of property. And the law also would include a 25% tax on wholesale and retail transaction. Yikes. The measure is not a done deal, however, as an initiative to the legislature. The bill will go to state lawmakers if it passes in November. If lawmakers reject or refuse to act on it, the question then goes back to voters for a final vote. In any event, the state liquor board would have to make rules, which could get pretty cumbersome and restrictive, as rules tend to be. But all in all, this bill is a step in the right direction. Go Washington. I'm going to let the kid read on here.
Here we go.
About Oregon.
In Oregon, they're calling legalization the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, which is great. I think if they're going to use it, we should tax it.
There you go.
And, you know.
Regulate it.
And let's make some money for this this country that we're living in.
Yes.
OregonVotes.org, check that out, which has a nice financial undertones. The act would allow people to grow their own or buy it from state-owned stores that buy from approved growers. The bill would create the Oregon Cannabis Commission, which would approve growers and set prices. What the F? The government owning stores and setting prices?
Huh.
I'm all for regulation, but I say no thanks to the government owning the stores. It seems to me the government is the last owner we would want. The commission would also determine possession limits, so that the devil in the details remains unseen. Mr. Smith offers a half-baked approval to Oregon's initiative. There's also the Colorado's Amendment 64 to the state constitution. Google it. The link is too long to put here. sounds like they
another one of those.
So we can definitely post some of these things and let people know about them. This amendment would allow possession of up to an ounce, which people could share with but not sell to friends. People would also have up to 6 plants, 3 of them mature, but would have to keep the marijuana harvested from plants on the premises where they grow it, seemingly making it illegal to take meds out of the house. It would also allow the excess tax, which would be set by the legislator. The Colorado law seems somewhere between Oregon and Washington. Some details are there, possession limits, but so aren't taxes. Ultimately, the possession laws represent the future. Americans are tired of wasteful spending to the enforce arket laws that even a lot of law enforcement officers think that ridiculous. We're slipping down the legislation slope now, and the eventually similar initiatives will pass. When they do, will be even more pressure on the federal government to abandon cannabis prohibition. That would lead to that would necessarily give us the perfect world, but wouldn't it be nice?
And then you can start singing the wouldn't it be
Kumbaya.
Nice? Oh, I was going to be voice, but that's
you're
going to
go first? Yeah.
No, wouldn't it be nice? You know?
Wouldn't it be nice? Oh, I like that one a lot better. I like that a lot better.
Wow.
Very
well, that's a mouthful. Thank you for finishing
you're
that.
You're welcome.
Up.
There was a lot of some words in there that I wasn't quite sure about. Some websites.
Some big fancy words in there. You know, and also a friend of ours just pointed out that the most recent article, this was last week's, so I wanted to read it because of who our guest is tonight. But this week's article, if we have time to read it later, is says pending inspection, Green Halo is poised to become Arizona's first medical marijuana dispensary.
Very interesting.
There we go. So we'll see if we have some time for that later. What, 10 after 7? We should probably chat with our guest. I want to actually read a little bit of the bio here, just from tumbleweedshealthcenter.com website, just a brief description here, and then we're going to introduce our guest and have a great night here. So the USMMCOC, United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce, strives to educate the government and general public on why we need to tax, regulate, and control the cannabis industry in the United States. We strive to educate on the economic advantages as well as the medical advantages. Awesome. That's a great statement. So here we go. Let's see if this is Mr. Lito here.
Yes. How you guys doing?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, so I wanted to come on tonight and just tell you a little bit about our organization and what we've done so far and what we're trying to get done. Obviously, I think we all agree and know that taxing this industry and regulating it is something that our economy does need. You know, I do a lot of comparisons to alcohol, and I think that the dangers behind people who use alcohol on a regular basis for recreation should tell the tale as to, you know, the big question as to why we have this prohibited to begin with. You know, marijuana use has never been physically addictive. It doesn't develop any kind of, like the alcohol develops a THIQ cell and can be passed down to your children. And, you know, you don't get that with marijuana. It's much safer and calmer substance. And, you know, if you've gone out to the bars and you've seen people getting drunk and liquored up, you know, you have drunk driving accidents and fights breaking out. I think it's just a lot more peaceful thing. And, you know, as you know, with the founding fathers of our country, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, cultivating on multiple levels, you have to ask, why did we prohibit in the first place? And,
exactly.
You know, a lot of people, you know, have been fed a lot of false propaganda stating that marijuana is a gateway drug. And this false propaganda came in from the people who are selling the pharmaceuticals and the alcohol. Also, Henry Ford, you know, from Detroit, Michigan, and Henry Ford's first vehicle was made out of hemp fibers. And it was so durable, you could smash the hood of the car with an axe and it wouldn't even leave a scratch. Furthermore, the car was biodegradable and ran on hemp fuel. So, you know, you have to see that there's so much more than just medicine that we can use this plant for. There's 50,000 uses from natural oils and fuels that we can develop and different hemp fibers. Obviously, we know that the hemp plant can cultivate and develop a lot more paper. We wouldn't have to be destroying our forests and whatnot. And so, again, you know, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is really an information hub where we try to get the people who have been fed the false propaganda to see the real truth behind this plant and understand why it was prohibited back in 1937. And it has a lot to do with other industries that came in that wanted to be successful by keeping marijuana and hemp out of the business sector. Companies such as DuPont, who are developing plastics, you know, are big examples of powerhouses that came in and, you know, paid to have this false propaganda put into the ears of the public of the United States. And so, again, you know, what we're trying to do is generate a lot of support and get people out there, not necessarily to just the trade shows for medical marijuana, but to all different aspects in media where we can really affect the general public and get the vote to legalize on a recreational and medicinal value passed forward on the federal side. I think that doing each individual state is a very, very excellent way to progress to where we want to be. But it, in a sense, opens Pandora's box. So for somebody like me, I travel constantly, and I have a medical ailment, herniated disc in my neck, which my neurologist prescribes me with opiate-based painkillers, and I can't stand them. You know, and if I could use medical marijuana, I'm in a lot better place. But the minute I get in my car and drive from Michigan to Ohio, I have to get rid of my, you know, now illegal substance and go back to the opiate-based painkillers. So it's kind of unfair to do it in one state and not the other. And then you add on top of that each individual state having its own different laws as to what your possession limits are and how to obtain. You know, I lived in California for a few years. I was a patient, but when I would go to Nevada or Arizona, you know, Arizona is a little bit different because I do believe that you guys accept medical patient cards from other states, but Nevada does not do that, and a lot of states don't accept a medicinal card from other states. So again, I get put into a bind as soon as I get in the car and travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I've got.
So
go ahead.
You a sort of uniformity between in the states.
Yes, yes. You know, and in my school of thought, I was a banker for many years, and I worked in a state level, and then I worked in a federal level. And the beauty part about working in the federal level was it had one basic law for all 50 states where I could do business all over the country. And then the states could put self-imposed guidelines in front of the federal law. But I believe that if we take that concept and apply it to this industry and give all 50 states legal marijuana use, I think you allow the states to buffer it. So I personally, my viewpoint is 18 and over for recreation and medicinal. And then if a state such as Arizona or California wants to bump it to 21 and over, I think that's, you know, that's satisfactory as long as people have access.
So you think at 18 someone's mature enough to use the plant medicinally or recreationally?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know when I was in high school, you know, we were recreationally using it at 16, 17 years old. And while that may not have been the most mature thing to do, it was still happening. It was still accessible. Yes. And it's still accessible today. And if I'm not mistaken, statistics are showing that people are starting to have access to medical and recreational marijuana such early as 7th and 8th grade, which is probably, you know, somewhat of a problem. But again, you have to consider the fact that it's a very easy access thing to come by, and it's out there, and it always has been, and it always will be.
So we have a question from a patient. What's the best way to go about getting the laws passed to, if you're saying legalize marijuana?
Well, I think we have to really try to educate the masses on a nationwide level to where this topic gets pounded into the White House, and we have to have a president in the White House that's willing to really take a hard look at making this change. You know, we endorsed Obama, and I know Obama's been not the best president for this, but he is more open-minded than Mr. Mitt Romney, who is absolutely against any kind of use of medical marijuana, whether it be recreation or medicinal. So we're a little, you know, concerned. We want Obama to stay in office as opposed to Mitt Romney, because we know that at least with Obama, we're still going to have our state-by-state laws, even though, you know, the DEA and the other federal agencies are shutting down a lot of dispensaries. I came into the business selling hydroponic equipment, and I've dealt with countless dispensaries, collectives, hydroponic stores, delivery services, and patients. And there are a lot of people doing things they shouldn't be doing, such as selling over state lines and transporting more than they're supposed to be. And they're running drug operations under the legal umbrella of a dispensary. And that's the problem. I think that's where the regulation needs to come in. I agree with you that the government shouldn't be the ones controlling and owning these operations, but there should be a little bit more of a licensing process for somebody to cultivate and somebody to distribute. I can't just go and get a license to sell Vicodin and OxyContin. I have to be a physician. I have to go through a major process of education and licensing. And I think that's something that I'm not suggesting that doctors be the only ones that distribute, but I am suggesting that we have a little bit more of a regulated process to get a license to do so. As of right now, you know, if you're 21 and over and have a state-filed business license with an attorney, you can apply to get a permit to have a business that sells medical marijuana. And I think that's just a little bit too easy, and we're attracting any Tom, Dick, and Harry who has a little extra money that wants to open up a business, and they're not following the laws.
Sure. There have rules and regulations followed. Absolutely.
Right. And go ahead.
Let me ask you a dispensary kind of question real quick. So in your perfect dispensary world, or, you know, MMJ world, let's say, would you allow a patient to have their full 2.5 ounces or their full allotment of medicine in one shake? Or which seems to be a problem with the people that are using it for drug dealing, which they'll go from place to place to place and get their full allotment and then go home and sell it.
I think every patient's different. I think there's a big difference between recreational use and medical use. When we have a medical ailment and we're prescribed a medicine, 9 times out of 10, that medicine's supposed to be taken every 6 hours or as needed, depending
right.
on your pain levels. But
right.
if there's somebody that wants to use it recreationally, we might be talking about somebody who would just use it on the weekends or after work. So I think that the people who are medicinally benefiting from marijuana should have a little bit more of an open ability to obtain how much they need for a given amount of time. My doctors will not prescribe me with more than 30 days worth of medicine at any given time. And so I think that if a patient's required to ingest a certain amount per day, I think that should be multiplied by 1 month of time, and that's what they should be able to have in any given prescription.
Okay.
We're also talking about heavy pharmaceuticals here.
Of course, but again, this is the alternative. You know, I mean, if somebody can, I have a patient and a chapter president on the line, Carlos Branch, who's got NMO, who's finding that marijuana helps his ailments and his symptoms tremendously, as opposed to taking the pile of pills that he's been prescribed. And you know, he's not necessarily getting prescribed with opiate-based painkillers, but he is being prescribed a bunch of pills. And I'm not sure, Carlos, are you on the line now?
No one else has called in yet. So
okay, he's got neuromyelitis optica, which is a derivative of multiple sclerosis, and he's got some issues with optic nerves and spinal cord nerves and damage, and it causes him to see black and white and also be very sluggish. And the medicines he's being prescribed is causing him to not even want to get out of bed in the morning. And
wow.
So when he's able to use medical marijuana, he's able to get up and do his routine, and he's still getting the benefit, and it's not nearly as stringent to his ability to function on a daily basis. One of his big problems is that he lives in Illinois, and they don't have medical marijuana. So he's kind of, you know, the odd man out, trying to figure out what he has to do in order to be able to take advantage of this without having to uproot his home residence to a state that allows it. And so that's kind of going back to where it's a little unfair for the states that don't have this when you consider the fact that the states that do have this, the 17, have all these different people that can take advantage of this, where, you know, we've got a good percentage and majority of the people in the United States who cannot take advantage of it. That's, again, why we really want to get this done on a federal level, because once the federal government, if and when the federal government says, okay, we're going to, you know, do a legalization or a bill which would allow all 50 states the same core law, then I think that's going to be a lot better for people just like Carlos and people like me who travel. And I think that's where we need to be. And
do you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
I definitely think it's possible, and I think that as long as we stick together and keep fighting, it will happen. I've spoken with countless congressmen and senators and state legislators, and a lot of them say, oh, it'll never happen. And, you know, my response to that is it's never going to happen if people have that kind of an attitude. So we have to take the time to educate, and I've done just that. You know, I've had senators try to beat me up and grill me about why they think it will never happen, and after a half hour of me rebuilding their knowledge and explaining to them how they've been fed wrong propaganda, they've actually taken the time to look at me and say, you know, you're right. I didn't know that. Now I do know that, and that changed my view. So if I can change a senator's mind, then anybody can change a senator's mind. And that's what we need to be doing is educating our senators and congressmen and getting them hip to the truth and showing them the facts, where this all came from. Because these congressmen and politicians, you know, they're doing the best they can to you know, help refine the laws and make things operate better economically and on each individual state. But again, these guys and these men and women all come from different places where they've been taught different things. And again, it all boils down to education.
Yeah, it absolutely does. That's the most important thing.
Tom, can you talk a little bit about how the legalization of cannabis would become a $100 million annual industry? And would it bring the 5 million jobs?
Absolutely. I believe that if we had a federal blanket law for the entire United States, I think that we could probably get to the point where we're cultivating multiple millions of pounds per year. And with the food industry and the beverage industry and the cannabis industry where people are smoking and vaporizing, you have so many different products. You have a bigger industry than alcohol. And that in and of itself will sprout thousands of businesses across the country, possibly thousands of businesses in each state, which will put millions of people back to work. So I believe that, again, from the perspective of, we could take a handful of different candy products, chocolate bars, cupcakes, even, with the oils and the butters. I mean, there are hundreds of different food items that you can integrate the THC and the CBD and CBN into, and that opens the door for cooks, bakers, bakeries. You would have more people blowing glass pipes and making water pipes. You'd have more vaporizers being sold, and you'd have just a ton more products and a ton more businesses opening up, which would allow for more employees. So, again, it comes down to the more states that have it, if all 50 states had it, we'd have a lot more opportunity for more jobs. And you have to think about how many people are employed by the alcohol industry, which is, again, a good comparison, because if you think about how many different companies are making vodka and wine and beer, you've probably got 5 million jobs right there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Belle and I were just talking about this the other day on how many of the patients are actually coming in and looking up what their medication does to them. I was telling them, how many times did you get your bottle of Vicodin from your doctor after they prescribed it, go home, and do your research on it? No, you pop those as soon as you got home.
Yeah, or in the car.
Or in the car. But you're seeing a lot of patients, wanting to know what they're taking and learning about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So on themselves is just amazing.
Right.
That actually brings me to a topic that I wanted to discuss tonight, which is the cultivation is the main reason why I got into the industry to begin with. A good couple friends of mine from Canada invented a machine called the spinner, which cultivates with an even lighting from top to bottom on the plant. Now, if I were to purchase a 10-pound bundle of medical marijuana and test each piece of that, I would have a different range of chemical levels. Supposing it was all, let's just say, Blue Dream. Some of the dried plant matter would be from the tip top of the plant, and some of it would be from the middle, some of it would be from the bottom. And with that comes a variance in the THC, CBD, and CBN content levels. And with the Food and Drug Administration, the one thing I can tell you about aspirin or Vicodin or even alcohol, each bottle of alcohol has 7% alcohol, and each pill of Vicodin has X amount of milligrams. There has to be a 20% variance, otherwise it cannot be considered medicine. With the marijuana that is on the market today, there's a 50 to 75% variance. You could have one piece that's 20% THC, one piece that's 10%, and that's just too far of a spread. And the reason why that's happening is because people are hanging lights and growing the plants vertically. With the spinner machine that we invented, and you can see that at FortKnoxHydro.com, SpinnerHydro.com, and it's also, we've got some information about it at the USMMCOC.com. The light bulb actually hangs in the very center, and 12 plants grow around the light and spin as they grow. Our plants in this machine only get to about 24 inches tall, but when they're finished, the entire plant from top to bottom is the same distance from the light. So when we test that plant, it all tests consistent. So that is a machine that we really want to get, bolted into this industry. Now, High Times Magazine put that on the cover and gave us Product of the Year, September 2010. And I received a statue award. Yeah, we had a Scientific Technological Advancement Award. And the machine was recently featured on Weeds on Showtime on the season finale in season 7, and now is recurring in season 8. And, you know, that's a perfect machine for Arizona because caregivers have the ability to cultivate, but they have to have 12, their 12 plants. It's a cap. They have to have a, what is it, your maximum amount of plants you can cultivate per patient is 12. The spinner actually holds 12 plants and can be locked. So it's a perfect device for people in Arizona.
It is perfect.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And again, we've done multiple tests with testing companies out of California, and I believe the lowest THC content we've cultivated was 20.5, the highest beating 32%, and those are great numbers, and we've never seen anything less. And I went around in California for about 2 weeks, and I would, like I said, I'd visit multiple dispensaries, and I always donate, always, because it's just good business, and it's my way to see what's out there. And I think after 20 dispensaries up and down the West Coast, I picked up all the nicest bud that I could possibly find. And my partners from Canada and I went through everything, and we took all the best out, and we ended up scaling it down to just 3 different strains. And we took those 3 strains and 2 of strains that were grown out of our machines and tested them all. And the highest we got out of the 3 strains was 14%. Where our lowest was 20.5. So, you know, that just goes to show you that cultivating with the spinner is actually going to bring up your quality. The quantity is unmatched. We've had people grow 2.5+ pounds off 1 600-watt HPS bulb, whereas the average is about a pound, pound and a quarter per 1,000-watt bulb. So we've increased the yield, reduced the power using, and increased the quality. So it's just an all-around home run, and we're doing great things with that machine out in California. And definitely recommend it.
Only in California?
No, we've got them all over the world. I've got, you know, I was running a distribution company called Hydroplex in California, and I reorganized that as a corporation, Fort Knox Hydro Incorporated, to bring in investor capital so that we could start mass production to drive the retail price down to make it more affordable, and that's all still in the works. But, yeah, we've got machines all the way in New Zealand, Denmark, Ireland, Germany, France, all over Canada, and we've done fantastic with it. We've got huge hip hop stars, namely Wu-Tang Clan, Crooked Eye from Interscope, and I work with some of the Snoop Dogg crew. They love this machine, and they're making songs about it. And that's what I'd given you a couple songs that were written about the machine. You know, we've got people celebrating this cultivation method through hip hop music, and it's pretty cool.
You want to play those songs right now?
Yeah, we could, you know, if you want to start with Lighting Systems is a song that was written in California, and it's yeah, if you want to play it, it's all about the machine.
Okay, stay on hold here. We're going to play the song and just mute ourselves. Hold
lighting
on.
Systems, lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting systems.
Hydroplex.
Lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting systems.
Hello there, Hydroplex.
Timers, lighting system.
We the best, cause we gotta be. It's that new hydroponic technology with the greatest results that there'll ever be. Cause the plants rotate 360 degrees. It's the most innovative growing machine that I ever seen. I love it spinning when it do its thing. Kinda shocking when we jumped on the scene. Hydroplex keep it popping, we sticking the steam.
Lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting system timers, lighting system timers, lighting system timers, lighting system timers.
Systems got to go. Broke down closets 2-4-0. Single units stackable, easily assembled. One light source is good to go. Combo packs available. Mystery, flow Mershals, Tom and I song turn play role. Jay Dillon with tracks to go. If you don't know, then now you know. We the bomb. Hydroplexonline.com. Turn it on and you gon' get to purchase one. Reduce all your energies. No more field. Increase yield remedies. That's why you need
lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting system timers, 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 lighting system tim
1999 for a limited time. You get yours and I get mine. Watch it grow just to grind. Hydroplex is on your mind. Open eyes and see the signs. Open wide and be the kind that invests in himself, that expresses with his wealth. You gon' prosper with the smell. I bet it pays for itself. So now you in business. You gotta take it and live it. And ain't no way you forget it. So remember this. Who's your daddy?
Mining systems. Mining systems. Mining systems. Mining systems. Mining system timers. 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 Mining systems. Mining system timers. Mining system timers. Mining system timers.
Hydroplex.
Awesome. That was really cool.
Yeah, and that, like I said, that was a couple friends of mine got together, and it just kind of sprouted. They grabbed an advertisement, and they gave it to me. So here, we made this for you, and I was just blown away. And you know, it was really a special occasion when that happened, because we used that as our background music at the trade shows, and people love it. And I'd love to get it on, you know, the major radio stations in California and the states, where we're really open-minded and have been doing this for quite a while. But we just haven't gotten there yet. But I think one day we'll get there.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, while we're talking about this lighting systems and things like this. I'm new to growing. I've been a patient since March, but I'm new to growing. And would you explain a little bit more about the hydroponic spinner that made the guest experience on wheat? Like, is that? Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, the spinner is an indoor hydroponic growing apparatus, and what it does is it eliminates all the wasted plant matter. I want to compare it to cultivating a plant that ends up being 4 to 5 feet tall. When you have a plant that's 4 to 5 feet tall, the canopy is usually the top half of the plant. So you're looking at about 2, 2.5 feet. When you get down below the 2.5 foot mark, you're so far away from the light, and there's a canopy covering the lower part of the plant, that you really can't use it. And so people end up cutting that part off and just taking the top 2.5 feet of the plant. And again, what we've done is we've made this machine to where the plant grows 2.5 feet tall. So we're putting in clones into the spinner at about 10 inches tall and flowering them, and they end up finishing at 20 to 24 inches. And the entire plant is the canopy. You don't have the bottom half of the plant, so you don't have any of the wasted plant matter. So we've figured out a way to just grow canopies. And with this growing method, like I said, the light hangs down from the center of the machine, so the entire plant is getting the same light while it's spinning. You don't have typically a light is hanging from the ceiling. So the top of the plants are growing up toward the light, and they're getting all the major, the light source. So the top of the plants are always the best part. With this machine, the entire plant, all the way 360, all the way around from top to bottom, are the same distance from the light. So the entire plant gets even lighting. What this does is, again, it allows us to be able to cultivate a bigger dry weight yield with less power. So we've built a machine to hold a 600-watt high-pressure sodium light, and with the 12 plants all the way around in a circle, we're able to get on an average 1.5 pounds of dry plant matter, usable dry plant matter, per 60-day flower cycle. And there's no wasted energy, there's no wasted light, and there's no wasted plant mass. The whole thing is the same quality. So even at the very bottom of the plant, the buds are just as quality as the buds on the top of the plant. So we've made it a little bit easier to get the most out of your light power.
Now, for the listeners out there right now, so that they can actually see this while they're listening to you, what's the website they go to look at this and check this out?
Well, you can go to Fort Knox Hydro, and FortKnoxHydro.com, and that has a direct link to the SpinnerHydro.com manufacturer's site. And also on that link, Fort Knox Hydro, you can see the cover of High Times, and you can actually watch the Weeds episode. In Weeds, Nancy Bodwin, the main character, gives her son Silas two of these machines with a very large bow on it as a going away present. That's the machine. And I think they're in New York right now, and I think they're growing vegetables in the machines in the movie, in the show right now. But you can see pictures of the machine on thomaslito.com, which is my personal website. If you go to the photos page, you can see a lot of the systems we've developed. Now, there's not going to be a lot of actual visible plants in the machines because they're commercial size grows and the doors are closed. But if you go on YouTube and type in the spinner and spinner harvests, there are a ton of videos with live plants cultivating, and you can see the quality and you can see the mass. And I think YouTube's going to be a great place for people to see this thing work. As for purchasing the machine, spinnerhydro.com, you can watch the videos as to how it operates and spins. You can see the instructional video online. You'd look up Hydroplex Spinner, and you would probably get a number of different blogs and videos all over the web that have been put up over the past 3 to 4 years.
And what's the price on one of these?
The price right now is $1,799, it's pretty good. We can get this price down lower, but right now it's sufficient for the amount that you can cultivate and for how easy it is to use. It's a good price. It's not the best price. And the reason it's not the best price is because we're only manufacturing, you know, a few hundred of them a month. And so the objective for Fort Knox Hydro is to mass produce to where we're doing, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 units at any given time, to where we can drive the price down to make it, $1,200 to $1,300 per unit. And that's the retail cost. So we're working on making it more effective and more efficient for everybody. And as we get a little bit more bigger business size, we're able to keep the prices going. Now, if you remember on the lighting system song, the price at that time was $19.99. So we've already gotten the price down $200 per machine, which is a good savings. That could be a couple months worth of nutrients. You know, so
just say that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can see that the price is coming down, and that's because we're making more of them and selling more of them, so we're able to do that.
Well, cool.
You've definitely made it affordable. Now, I heard you talk about how easy it was. How easy is it? Let's just go with the spinner for right now.
Well, the spinner is it's depending on your experience in growing, it's going to make a little bit of a difference. You know, the bottom line is that hydroponic growing and aeroponic growing is less forgiving than throwing a couple seeds in a pot of soil. But the benefit is there. You know, we have an unbelievable horticulturist and a team of grower experts at our company that are always available for tech support. So if you're having any questions or any kind of problems, you can always get the help that you need. But I've had quite a few first-time growers who have never even touched a plant before buy this machine and have tremendous success. So we've found that it's pretty easy for brand new people to get involved. It's as weird as it may seem, the people who've been growing for 10 years are the ones having problems because they're set in their way as to how they like to do things. And it's kind of like changing a style. It's a completely new style of growing. So I actually personally recommend it for people who are new to the industry, because you can teach them a method and a style, from scratch. And so, again, growing plants in general, I would say, is not something that anyone can just pick up and do. You have to put a little work into it. The people that have the most success are the people who write a daily journal and log of everything that's going on and transpiring with their grow. And it's kind of like picking up an instrument. As time progresses, as you get through your first harvest and your second harvest and your third harvest, your quality and quantity will rise constantly. We've got people that have been growing with the spinners for a couple of years now, and they're having amazing success.
So can you start from a seed in these? Or do you have to have clones?
Clones. Yeah, you have to have clones. You can, you know, most people, what they do, especially with the spinners, is they have a mother plant or, you know, a mother section where they have a couple different strains, and then they take their cuttings and they do their cloning, and then they put their clones into the spinner when they're about 10 inches. Now, every plant's different. Your sativas are going to grow very tall, very fast, whereas your indicas are going to stay short and stocky. So depending on what kind of strain you're looking to cultivate, it will determine what size you want that plant to be when you put it into the spinner. But once you've got it moving, you can run almost a perpetual harvest, where as your plants are flowering and finishing their 60-day flower, you've got clones on the way to go into the spinner once you pull your plants out and cut them out and cut them down. So you can actually do one harvest every 60 days for six harvests per year. So each individual spinner should be able to cultivate 1.5 pounds average six times per year, which is 9 pounds per year. And if the machine's going to cost you, say, $1,800, $1,900 with all the other things that you might need, including nutrients and your electric bill, you know, you're looking at, you know, maybe $3,000 to $4,000 per year to run one machine. And if you're getting 9 pounds off of it, you know, you can see that you're making huge savings. I mean, you know, you'd have roughly $20,000 worth of dry plant matter per year that you can make off of each spinner. So you're, it's a 400% profit margin if you were selling as a dispensary.
How big around and how tall can your plant get in the, if it's got, you know, space for 12? Is that pretty big?
Yeah, the spinner's about 3.5 feet wide, and the growing height is 24 inches inside the machine. So if you're getting 20 to 24 inches high, your plants are going to be about 6 inches around at the base, and they're doing, like I said, for 1.5 pound harvest, you're at about 1.5 to 2 ounces per plant. So you've got 12 plants that will finish at about, 1.5 to 2 ounces, and sometimes even higher. Like I said, we've had some people that have been working with this machine for a while and have figured out the perfect height for each strain that they're using, and they're getting 2.5 to 3 pounds off one unit in 60 days. And I don't like to promote and advertise those numbers because they're there are people that have been using this machine and who have practiced and figured out the perfect numbers and whatnot to cultivate to these levels. But beginners, like I said, are hitting 1.5 pounds pretty much no problem.
So do you promote or sponsor any nutrients out there, anything like, you know, that you work well with?
And say would work well with this machine?
You know what? I'm a firm believer that the majority of nutrients are all the same with a different label on them. It's there are some different things that you can use, but we try to stay very basic. Now, cultivation and the nutrients are not my specialty, and that's why I wanted to bring on a horticulturist to discuss those. But I know we do a lot of work with advanced nutrients, and seem to be very successful with advanced. And also with BioFloral has a good nutrient regimen. They're a Canadian company. But again, it really, like I said, most of the nutrients are pretty much very close to the same. There are some different chemicals that you can put into the plant to make it do different things, but we try to stay away from that because it can take away from the organicness of the plant. We try to keep, obviously on an organic side, we try to keep certain chemicals away, and also keeping out the pesticides and whatnot, because that can definitely taint the final product.
So, speaking of pests, can they get in there?
Absolutely. You know, if you have the machine growing in an unclean environment, some people want to put it in the basement, and other people, you have to be very delicate and very perceptive of what exactly you're doing. You know, we've had, and this goes for all growers, a random person could come in, or even a grower could come in and have bacteria on their shoes, and that bacteria could find its way into the plants. All it takes is a couple small bugs to replicate and get in there. So, sometimes people, how doctors have the little slippers they put over their shoes? People have that. They work with, almost they put on a suit when they go into their grow room. A lot of people tend to plastic off a room and make sure that everything is very clean and they keep it sterilized before they even begin. So again, you really have to pay attention. I definitely recommend reading a book or two on how to maintain a healthy environment for your plants to grow in and keep all the pathogens, bacteria, and bugs out. But that's one of the reasons why, you know, Fort Knox Hydro, what we'd love to do is get this thing done federally to where we could build a medical facility where people that are cultivating inside this facility can actually go into a clean room, you know, make sure they're 100% clean and then enter the room to start working on the plants so that, you know, we can get mass quantities of very clean plants cultivated without having any kind of pathogens or bacteria in them.
Like in weeds where Silas and Nancy work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very cool.
That's great. Yeah, no pets in the rooms, huh? If my dog's listening, he's very upset.
Yeah.
So,
I had a question
about
the
kid
energy.
Was going to ask them.
About, now you were saying working in all the numbers and energy. How does this compare to someone's energy bill that had, you know, 5 lights or and all of this other stuff, 2 lights or whatever, compared to...
Well, the 600-watt bulb is going to be more power efficient than a 1,000-watt bulb. Obviously, you know, the 1,000-watt's going to have, you know, much more power being drawn. Well, we find that the spinner on average pulls about $35 per month on an electric bill. And it's very competitive and very reasonable in considering everybody else. Again, you know, most people cultivate with 1,000-watt bulbs, and so we've been able to achieve the same yield, sometimes higher, with a 600-watt bulb. So we've cut 40% off of the electric bill right there. One of the other beauties of the spinner is that because it's enclosed, each individual pod is going to be separated from the next pod. So if you're running multiple units, let's say you've got 12 units running simultaneously, what you can do to cut on your electric bill is actually run what's called a flip box, to where 6 of the units are running for 12 hours of the day. And then for the next 12 hours, the other 6 units run, so that at any given time, you've got an even consistent six bulbs lit and 6 bulbs off. Where that helps is on electric bills when you add in the air conditioning, because if you were to run all 12 units at the same time, the room would get very, very hot, and you'd have to use more air conditioning to cool it down. By running 6 at a time, you've evenly distributed the amount of heat in the room so that you can maintain a more even air conditioning flow. So you can't do that with a gigantic open grow room, because if you have 12 hours of light, 12 hours of dark, if you were to flip the lights back and forth, the plants would see that, you know, the plant on one half of the room would still get light 24 hours a day. There wouldn't be no way to segregate them unless you put up a wall. So that's another way we can be more efficient with the energy bill.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Well, that's good, because we all need to lower those bills and use less energy.
Well, it's one of the main things you have to think about. You know, once you have your system built, you're going to have monthly expenses, and those monthly expenses are going to be your nutrients, your electric bill, and then obviously depending on how you're doing your cloning. You know, in California, a lot of people sell clones, so growers tend to just go out and buy clones every time they're ready to start a new a cultivation cycle. But if you have the ability and the space, you know, you could just continually grow mother plants and have a cloning room and then have your flowering room. So it would be 3 separate rooms all in one building. Now, there's a video online, I think it's Hydroplex Spinner System on YouTube, and it will show you the mother room, the flowering room, and the cloning room, and it's all very nice and neat. It's very close to what I would consider a medical-grade facility. And, you know, it's actually got some music behind it, and it's a great video, one of the best ones we've got online.
Awesome. We'll have to check that out. And that's on YouTube, you said?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've got growers all over the place that throw videos up. And so most of the time we don't know who they are, but you know, the good news is they are helping us by showing what they've been able to accomplish. Because, you know, again, we're just hydroponic equipment distributors, and being in California, obviously, I know a lot about what happens when you cultivate cannabis in this machine. But we've also got people that are using them for tomatoes, basil, bell peppers, and other plants and vegetables.
Wow. And they're getting, you know, good quality produce from it?
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a couple of people that sell their vegetables to local markets, and it's fantastic, you know.
That's great. Yeah, go community.
Well, you're definitely in the mainstream of the future there, right, with that little machine. That's amazing.
Now, you had mentioned that you had a friend that was going to chat about growing with us tonight. Is he with you there?
I'm not sure. Jerry, are you on the line? He's not with me. He would be calling in.
Yeah, no.
You know what? We had a hiccup with the time. That was, you know, I was thinking 7 p.m. Mountain Time, which would be 9 p.m. here, but it was ended up being 10 p.m. here. So we had an hour lapse. So maybe I was unable to grab him. Okay. You know, it's we're at Eastern Time, so it's a little bit late over here.
Good thing the show is a little earlier.
But again, you know, you can see everything on spinnerhydro.com and fortknoxhydro.com, and then of course the YouTube videos, and through those websites you can access technical support, horticulture support, and call in and ask any kind of questions for any information you might want to get. All the different companies are very, very much in business and active, so they're easy to reach, and you know, we're very apt to give out information when requested.
Awesome. Now, your website for the United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce, is that live?
Yes, that's at www.usmmcoc.com.
All right, let's check that out. So for your listeners, for everybody out there, usmmcoc.com, and that's United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce. Check it out, went live, and we'll have a link to that soon on Tumbleweeds Health Center. But for listeners just tuning in right now, maybe you want to explain a little more about what you do, because we've been on a little while and we got off on a growing tangent, which we could probably take for another 3 hours. But let's talk a little bit more about your Chamber of Commerce. You're the president, so you created this?
Yes, it was an idea that kind of erupted from working with the public relations and media company. We've done so much work in the hydroponics industry with so many different businesses, from, like I said, hydroponic stores to dispensaries and collectives, delivery services, and you know, cultivators and distributors across the country and world, that we've just developed a huge database of people that we deal with on a regular basis. So the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is an organization where the people that are in business, in the business of making money, such as hydroponic stores, collectives, and dispensaries, can share information. And, you know, we've got a lot of patients that are new to this industry. You know, when a state opens up their law or changes something, it can spark a lot of new patients who don't know where to go to purchase equipment or don't know where to go to get their medicine, and sometimes don't know if they want to set up a business to cultivate or distribute. They need an attorney. So we serve as a resource to connect people with other businesses that they may want to get involved in. And we're working on a program right now where members of the Chamber of Commerce will actually get discounts from collectives, dispensaries, and hydroponic stores, as well as discounts in receiving their medical cards and renewing their medical cards. A lot of different states have, you know, California, for example, when you get a card, it's usually good for 1 year, and you have to renew every year. So if, you know, if we talk to a new patient in California who's from Orange County somewhere, we can refer them to a doctor, and because we're all in the chamber, they get a discount, and we can refer them to reputable companies. So we try to do a little screening behind our members and businesses, make sure that they've been in business and they're doing good business. And I think we've got 26 chapter presidents and ambassadors across the country who are, you know, going to the trade shows and going to different functions and rallying support and educating people on what we do. And
somebody right here. Come on.
Yeah.
Mr. Venezzi, a good friend of mine, and he's And he's actually in the music business as well, and does a lot of touring and concerts and promotions. So we teamed up with Dave, and we've done some music work with him. The objective, what I'd love to see happen, which is kind of organically happening right now, is we're building a full-length CD of different music that involves legalizing and medical marijuana. And so we're going to eventually start working a tour and doing a 10-city, 12-city tour, and it'll be sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. And so we'll be promoting it, getting on stage and talking to all the people at the concert venues, and educating from the ground level there. And like I said, that's all being built and it's all in the works. And it's, like I said, it's an organic thing. This is kind of growing itself. And so that's, Mr. Venezzi's been with us for quite a while, and he's been a good friend of mine for about 5 years. And he was in California for quite some time and recently moved to Tucson, Arizona. So I'll definitely get him linked up with you guys. And, maybe he can come in and, share information with you guys and maybe help bring in some new customers and patients for your tumbleweeds.
Absolutely. That would be wonderful.
Well, giving the opportunity to, patients to get an incentive and to be held, accountable for what they're doing and what they're using is definitely definitely the way to go.
Yeah, well, we've dealt with a lot of people on multiple different levels. And, there's definitely excellent, reputable businesses out there side by side with people who are not so reputable. And so we want to make sure that we take the time to give the good referrals and make sure that if somebody needs an attorney, they're getting a good attorney that's going to be able to help them in whichever way they want. If somebody's looking to build a grow room as a caretaker, that they go to a reputable hydroponic store, and if they need cultivation knowledge, they go to reputable growers to get good information. So again, we're trying to deal with the businesses who are the higher education levels, to where we can, again, educate each other the best possible way.
Oh, I apologize. We have a guest actually that wants to say hello here. Sorry about that. This is a new thing. Let's see if they'll come on here. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Weed Day.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? You're on the line with Mr. Thomas Lito from the United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, very good, very good. How is the USMOCC or USMMCOC?
COC.
We're fabulous. Who are we speaking with?
And who is this calling in? Or who'd we call?
Hello?
Hello? You're still with us. Are you still there?
I can't hear anybody.
Thomas, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let me place the caller back on hold and see if we can't get them back in the queue there. Somebody had called in and wanted to ask a question. Are you back? Hello?
Can't hear you.
Okay.
Oh, well, okay. It worked for a moment. All right. Well,
Thomas, is there any chambers in state to states or city to city that we might be able to, start doing some of our stuff down here and helping out in the big picture?
Absolutely. We're open to, we have multiple chapter presidents and ambassadors. And, the difference is chapter presidents are kind of organizing meetings and doing educational programs and doing outreach to different organizations and working to bring in more members. So the ambassadors are our friends who are volunteering to go out and bring in memberships as well. So we're kind of doing our own network campaign to where, you know, everybody that's involved is you know, contributing and bringing in data from new collectives, dispensaries, attorneys. You know, again, each individual person has their own network. And so I would absolutely entertain any kind of help that you guys would be willing to give, and I would love to give you guys any help that I possibly could give. So, again, this is more of a format to where we can all get a little bit more educated and open our network up to where we have more resources to share with more patients and different business owners.
Absolutely. Patients need to know the best and most correct information there is. So that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and so, oh, I was going to say, you know, on the chamber, coincidentally, we have a musician that is from New York City who works with the Wu-Tang Clan and has been with them for many years. And there was another song that he had put together called Up, Up, Away that talks, actually references the chamber. And it's coincidental because when he used the word chamber in the song, he was talking about the spinner. And, uh-huh. And, you know, and then it ended up being the Chamber of Commerce. So it kind of worked in hand. And I was going to say, if you wanted to play that song, it's a great tune,
yeah.
And we've got Sophia May, who's a top 10 in the billboards in the United Kingdom, and the music producer behind it is Jay Dillon, and it's another great song.
Awesome, yeah, let's play that now.
Okay.
Said it seems like every day, yeah, we go up, up, up and away, yeah. Said it seems like every day. Yeah. Roll a green like my money machine. Here we go. Shorty, I'm back. Switching the flow. So cold. I don't spit on the tracks. Make it snow. Dress warm. Planting the seed to something strong. More rock. Yeah, we rocking tonight. Let's get it on. Where you at? Doing it up and just living. Just got a spinner. Consider it Thanksgiving. How you feeling? Watching how the lie grow fresh. I do it big. Plenty green in my high. So black light it. Just from the smell, we get excited. Cultivate a batch from scratch, you gotta try it. Shorty ride, she loving the 360. It turn like a world whenever she rolling with me. From Harlem, New York City. I don't keep it at 100, I keep it a 150. Nothing but the truth, and we ride like that. 2 feet from the clouds, as you high like that. Just share. I'm set, Hydroplex on with the spinner on deck. See, I'm homegrown, taking a flight, phone home. Sitting in my throne, inventing my own zone. Surfing on the cloud, cowabunga baby, watch me really put it down. I'll be all around, rep my city and my town. From Harlem to places that ain't never heard my sound. Shorty, they love my style, when I touch back. Money, my plants is fully grown. Staring in the glass, I'm ready to clear my dome. Blame Tommy Knox for this new chamber. What up, Jay Dillon, we about to do it major. Cheers, yeah. I said it seems like that wrong. What up, what up, yeah. Yo. Yeah, yeah. It seems like every day I got my Hydroplex on, you know what I'm saying? And we go up, 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 yeah. Share. See the spinner. It seems like every day. Yeah. We ain't talking about the friends, yeah. Be with it. We go up, 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 yeah. Hydroplex on, yeah. Deck.
Good one.
That one, yeah. Was nice and jazzy.
Yeah,
I liked it.
That was chill.
Yeah.
Now, are these tunes available for sale somewhere? Or
yeah, you can download them on thomaslito.com. It's thomaslito.com on the music page. And I have a few other songs up there as well. Not necessarily pertaining to the MMJ industry, but, you know, we've got a different variety. I do everything from dance music to, as you heard, little hip-hop and some R&B.
Cool. We had another question. I think this caller must have missed the very first part of the show. We talked about the elections coming up a little bit, but can you speak just a little more about who you think might be the better candidate for us, or should we write in and make something up? Or?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we don't have I think, in my opinion, if Mitt Romney wins, we got a problem on our hands. I don't think he's open-minded to this at all. He's made it very clear that he doesn't want any kind of medical marijuana or recreational. His running mate, Paul Ryan, has stated that he's actually for each individual state being able to do exactly what we're doing right now. But I think that if we can get a little bit more mature people involved in the distribution and cultivation, I think that Obama's administration would be a lot more flexible with continuing the progress. Because we are still progressing. I feel that while we are progressing, you know, the federal agencies such as the DEA are going around trying to clean things up, especially in California. Because, again, what you've got is you've got a bunch of younger people, and I'd say in the early to mid-20s, opening up and running these businesses. And these people don't have college degrees. They don't understand how to run a business. They're doing things non-compliant, and that's where one of our problems are. I think that compliance is a very big part of this. I mean, we're dealing with medicine, again, and, you know.
Very serious stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been in the medical field for a number of years. My mother's a nurse anesthetist. I own a home health care agency in Michigan, and I've got a Medicare provider number. And we had to go through 2 years of pro bono work. And one of the things that we do in this industry is each individual patient, we go over a checklist, and we check their vitals, and we talk about what's wrong with them, and we find out what their pain levels are and what's going on. And I think that's something that should be added in. I think that the doctors should be really focusing in on how a patient's treatment plan is going, and as opposed to just walking in and saying, you know, I need 2.5 ounces, you know, here's the money. I think it should be a little bit more detailed and more advanced.
Right.
And that's something.
More medical, right.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah,
why
more medical.
Like, yeah, you know, testing is such a hard process.
And knowing that what patients really need is to know what's in their medication that they're taking.
Absolutely. There's a company we work with in California called The Workshop, and it's thewerkshop.com, The Workshop. And they do all kinds of testing, and they actually have a label, and they put this label on the packages, and it shows you all the different THC content, the CBD content, the CBN content. And they have a grid that shows you what diseases and what ailments and what medical benefits each one of these different chemicals has, so that the patient can actually check that that grid and check it against what ailments they have and go after the strains that are going to help them more so than others. And so, again, I think that we as an industry have to get a little bit more advanced and start labeling. And, again, it goes back to education. We have to make sure that the people that are purchasing this product as medicine understand the medical benefits that they're going to receive from each individual strain.
Well, absolutely. And it's not like you go to a pharmacy like Rite Aid or Walmart and walk in and you get a variance of what's in your ibuprofen. It's standardized and it's regulated and it's checked, you know?
Yes, it's packaged properly. And again, yeah, they're doing it on a major, major level. So, I think that at some point we have to have some companies come out that that will be much bigger and supply, larger quantities. I think that you've got too many small companies doing too many different strains. I think that, you know, it needs to, you know, be generalized a little bit more. And again, this is my opinion. I think it would be more effective to have, you know, 10 or 15 major corporations that are, you know, public and private, but for the people, built by the people, to do this on a major scale, to where, you know, when you walk into a 7-Eleven, You know, you're going to see each 7-Eleven is going to have the same products. Now imagine 7-Eleven being 420, you know, and you walk into 420 just like 7-Eleven, and you've got beverage area, you've got food area, you've got, you know, bud area, and you've got your utensils area where you can purchase pipes, vaporizers, and everything. I think it has to be more uniform, and we have to be more consistent across the board.
I think so. And our caller is back, actually, and we're going to – Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I think I'm here this time.
Oh, there you are. Hello. Introduce yourself.
Oh, Heidi Hanford, back to hassle you again this time.
Thanks for calling in.
I finally made it awake long enough on the show. You guys are going to make me a hoot owl out here on the East Coast.
I know. Thanks for staying up for us.
Yeah, no problem. It's always good to talk to you guys. So, you know, I have to think it was really funny about the same time you were quizzing this fine gentleman here about his thoughts. I was typing in the chat, you know, about your question about president.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can have Romney in that seat, but only if we can guarantee he got sucked out an airplane window so that Paul Ryan could stand up after that. Other than that, I say none of the above. Watch Brewster's Millions.
Yeah.
Yep. That's about right. I it's probably the lesser of two evils is what's happening. But
Gary Johnson, the liberal, he's the most open-minded about this. But the problem is just he doesn't have enough support to have a fighting chance at actually winning this election. So it's kind of, in my opinion, pointless to endorse and support Gary because I don't think he's not going to have a shot. If this is between Mitt Romney and Obama, and again, you have to pick the lesser of two evils, and neither of them are going to be the savior for this industry. But I believe Mitt Romney's going to do more damage to reverse what we've built than Obama is.
Well, personally, I'm standing firm in my vote for Ron Paul. You know, if everybody who said he doesn't have enough support to win would simply carry on with their support for him and vote for him, we might actually make an impact. But my own personal belief system, I just cannot vote for somebody, and I won't vote for somebody I don't believe in. So I've been a write-in voter for a long time because it's been that way. In different places in Montana where I voted for many years, there's been places where I just have not been happy with the candidate.
There you go.
And I'm not writing in Mickey Mouse. I'm writing in an honest candidate. You know, it's a serious issue to me. So every state out there, whoever listens in Arizona, I don't know what your write-in laws are. You guys have write-in laws? Can you write in the presidential candidate?
I think we can. Actually.
Yes, you can. You can.
Arizona. I'm sure we can. Yeah.
Good, because some places make it really hard to do it. And, you know, that's part of the problem that we have out here is a lot of people don't know if they can vote. In Montana, felons are allowed to vote. A lot of them don't think that they can because they even had some misdemeanor. So, you know, there's a big learning curve with the new voters that are wanting to come on board thinking that they can't, you know, and using that for an excuse when once they get out there and get registered to vote and really start getting active and involved, they're really grateful for it and they feel liberated.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. Everybody should get out there and vote, especially for who you believe in. Like Heidi said, you know, write in if you don't.
Now, Thomas, is this some of the things that the chamber actually talks about, and are these some of the subjects?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I did a press conference in Connecticut because they just changed their law on October 1st. And we had discussed a number of different things involving the current election. And one of the things that I was talking about was that I think that in the debates and in all the promotions that these presidents are doing, I think that when they're talking about how bad our economy is, they're not talking about things that we could do thinking outside of the box, such as legalizing marijuana to help the economy. I think that the debates need to have a lot more. I think that we need to do what we can do to get this topic of legalizing for all 50 states right in there and have them discuss it and really focus on hammering away at educating. I think that the more I listen to the president's talk back and forth about the economy, it drives me crazy because they're just not talking about marijuana. Obama said, you know, this isn't going to be a topic on their plate for 5 to 10 years. And I just think that's just not the truth. I think we need to take care of it and get it out there now. Connecticut's, you know, they're they're allowing medical marijuana, but they haven't decided how they're going to allow, how they're going to obtain the medicine. So they're saying that people who have a patient card today can have medical marijuana on their person, but they can't legally obtain it. So it kind of puts potential patients in a bind, because if something happens and they get stopped by law enforcement and they've got an ounce of medical marijuana, they're not breaking the law. But if the police officer says, where did you purchase this? If they say, well, I got it from John down there, well, they've just broken the law. So
right.
It's kind of a catch-22, and they're, you know,
if I remember correctly, isn't Connecticut where they're deeming that it's supposed to be dispensed through the pharmacies in their bill?
Let me tell you, I've got the whole breakdown right here. They've legalized it for medical use, but again, they have not figured out how they're going to get the patients are going to register with the Department of Consumer Protection, but they haven't figured out how they're going to obtain the medicine yet. And they've approved certain conditions, the cancer, glaucoma, HIV, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, nervous system damage, tissue damage, spinal cord injuries, Crohn's disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, or any other medical condition that is approved by the Department of Consumer Protection, which covers a lot, if not most, of the medical ailments that medical patients are using this product for. But they're still working on the fine print of the law. So they've gotten halfway home, but they haven't decided who's going to be growing it. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they said they were going to have three agencies that were government-owned, cultivating and distributing, yeah. But they haven't set that law in stone. They said by June 1st, 2013, they would have something put together.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and one thing I hope that other states will look at is Colorado and their regulation model. Now, it's not perfect by any means, but one thing that I have personally witnessed and had great length discussion at is with federal intervention, you know, we see it all around the nation, but not in Colorado. In Colorado, the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division has some kind of an agreement with the DEA to work with problem providers. The DEA has their own investigations that they conduct. And the only thing that we have there that was a federal intervention of any kind of sort was the letter writing where they commanded them to shut down because they were within 1,000 feet of schools.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's really encouraging, and hope other states will implement tighter regulation bills where they bring back some revenue to the state, because I think that really gives them some meat to work with.
Yeah, I think Colorado is one of the model states. You know, California is supposed to be not-for-profit, and they've been doing a lot of the shutdowns because people are too close to a school or library. You know, Long Beach, California is a great example of just a city gone wrong. I mean, they're literally having lotteries to where there's 50 dispensaries that are trying to operate, and all 50 of them have to pay $30,000 to the city of Long Beach to enter a lottery, and then the lottery scales it down to 30. So 20 people spend $30,000 to get put out of business. I mean, it's just really, it's turned into a racket. And you know, again, when these companies are not-for-profit and the way they're operating, it's just, they're making it so difficult to follow the law. You know, Colorado is for profit, and I think that Colorado's had a lot more success. If I'm not mistaken, there was a company that was selling food products that did almost $7 or $8 million in revenue last year, and there's some companies doing even bigger numbers than that. I think that, you know, again, one of the big problems is that each state is doing things totally differently. So where do you finally draw a hard line and say this is what needs to happen for everybody? And, you know, I think at some point we have to look at what has worked and what hasn't worked and take all the common denominators from what is working and use that as the foundation for everybody else.
Correct. And that's what we had done in Montana last session. We had a real tight regulation bill that I had helped to draft. And we got it up there, and we actually got it presented. But the problem we had when we hit the Capitol with it was it was 82 pages long. So no legislator in a session, especially one as crazy as that one was that year, wants to even try to cogitate an 82-page bill. And then when they look at your industry as a group, you know, they go for the whole social persecution thing. Medical marijuana is truly the new gay. they really go for the social persecution. So they're more interested in tearing you down with the social persecution than even looking at any way of bringing revenue to the state or helping people is what happens in the end. At least that's been my experience in Montana. Now, we were just lobbying in Michigan about 3 weeks ago. Irvin Rosenfeld and myself were flown up there to go and do some lobby work. They were trying to remove glaucoma from their bill, which anybody in the industry who knows anything about the history of medical marijuana in this nation knows that case law is based a lot on U.S. versus Randall.
It was always glaucoma, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
It was always glaucoma. The first thing, it was always, oh,
yeah.
You have glaucoma.
The first federal patient, Robert C. Randall, got his medical cannabis from the federal government due to the right that it was constitutionally unsound for the government to deny him the right to his sight. So when we walked in there,
wow.
And I threw that down on the table,
awesome.
It really killed that senator's bill. I mean, we were sitting in his office with his staff, and totally, you know, I didn't even realize he was waving around the Michigan Constitution until I walked out, and then I always collect stuff so that I, you know, have their contact information and what their little heartthrob is. And so he was a Constitution wearer anyway. And when I threw that one down on the table and said, hey, you know, you need to look at case law, and this is long-time case law, you may as well just withdraw the bill so you don't have your pants pulled down and create a lot of lawsuits in Michigan. So, you know, that could have been a real tipping factor in that, but it really opened their eyes, and they sat up in their chair when they heard that, even though they were the ones presenting the bill.
Because they had only had
a small group of doctors go in who said that patients were going blind from using cannabis. They didn't use any other details and say that these people were totally giving up their eye drops, which, you know, we really encourage glaucoma patients. Yeah, they do need those eye drops in some cases, and they can use cannabis to help. And in some cases, they cannot totally get rid of their eye drops. It depends on their situation. But with that, we countered and said, have you spoke to any patients? Because here we sit with LG Musica, federal patient, and then a patient from Michigan, and then another federal patient, and you haven't talked to any patients that have lost their sight. Did they bring any forward? And you know, we just really killed their argument with logic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm from Michigan. I think one of the things that's happening there is, you know, they're putting it not just in, you know, obviously it's not in the hands of the state. They're giving it to county by county, and a lot of the dispensaries they've got moratoriums set up where the counties are saying we don't want this in our, you know, in our county, and then cities are doing the same. I work very closely, and my attorney for the Chamber of Commerce is from Cannabis Council, Thomas Levine, and his partner Matt Abels, the director of Normal in Detroit, Michigan, and we were working in June and July together. Signatures for the petition to put 21 and over recreational use in Michigan. Unfortunately, we came up short of the signatures we needed to get it done for this year's election. But you know, there's a definite, there's a huge team of people in Michigan working diligently to make these laws right. And I think that Michigan is one of the states that's going to do some fantastic innovative stuff with this industry. So it's interesting to hear how on one side of the coin you've got people trying to take glaucoma off, but on the other side the people that are really in the industry pushing are trying to do it recreationally.
Huh. Well,
right, and then that's where we have our problems too when you really get into a strong lobby effort, is if you have your politicians sitting up there on the hill get hit by so many people and they've got the culture and the medical coming at them, especially in a state that's very strong on the opposition, it's really difficult to have a logical conversation at that level on the medical platform when the culture side is jumping around on the outside too. So I really hope people will be aware of the feel of their state and what is going on before they walk in there and understand how it's going. I think Colorado has really managed their legalization effort very well, the Yes on 24. They've really got some great media movement on it. They've got great support. They got their Democratic Party behind them as well as their Republican Party, and then they just had issued out 350 doctors signed on to support Yes on 64. So by having that huge barrage of doctors from across the state of Colorado come up and support a legalization effort, it really has a huge impact. So the stats I was reading about today said that it was 50% favored to pass, for legalization. 40% were opposed, and they still had 10 undecided. I'm really, really excited to see what happens with those polling numbers after this report from the doctors gets out, and hopefully we'll have some of the bigger newspapers in Denver, in Colorado area pick it up.
So, Heidi, how do we touch those 40%?
How do we what?
How do we reach the 40% that are opposed?
Well, that's the true challenge that we have, where we really have to whip out the grassroots movement, because what I find happens in a medical state is before you get a medical law, the newspapers are very favorable, they're very compassionate, yeah, we got to roll this in. And then after it gets put into effect, you'll notice, and you can go back in your archives and look, it's really interesting if you go Google marijuana or search for marijuana in your own local paper and go look at the archives. After the law gets changed, everybody turns into a bunch of dope dealers and drug traffickers. So, and I've seen that consistently. It's like when I went and researched on the Denver Post, they had a lot of positive before their law went into effect, and afterwards you don't see anything about patients or, you know, that's all picked up by the smaller publications. The big ones don't do anything with it anymore unless it's lawsuits and illegal activities. So you really have to reach out to that 40% by it's going out to them, and you have to remember a lot of that 40% is our elderly population. So you need to get involved with, like, the elderly groups and get involved with the art groups and the Lions Club and a lot of those guys and educate them about the benefits to seniors and how the prescription pill market is really killing them physically and financially. You know, everybody worries about their wallet. Well, when you go and look at death statistics, one of the key points I'm going to bring up in Montana is the cancer statistics. When you go get them from the vital records department, you pull them for 5 years before your law went into effect and then have them pull all the cancer death stats after. And then I'm going to get the last results for the past year since our law changed. And you can watch the death rate. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can approach. You've just got to have strategic ways to get it out. And then when you do present facts to these folks, by gosh, if you don't know the answer, don't tell them something that isn't right.
Right.
Get absolutely. Their information and get the correct answer and then get back to them. Don't leave them hanging, because if you don't get back to them and follow up, you're going to lose a voter and you're a loser pothead because you didn't follow up. Oh, they got stoned and forgot about me. So,
good
you
advice.
Know, you have to really be aware of what you're doing in your environment and your surroundings and how you approach people.
Now, Thomas, is this some of the things that are being talked about at some of the chamber meetings, like on how to?
Well, yeah, you know, we've got we've got so many different things going on. I've got a couple of New York State legislators I've been working with, and they're trying to get some things done in New York. And so we're definitely referencing a lot of the different struggles and problems that have happened in other states. But you're absolutely right. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to be well-educated. Present your knowledge and your facts very, very well in order to get through to some of these people.
Yeah, you absolutely do. Otherwise, if you're out there spreading false knowledge, you could just perpetuate the whole reefer madness problem in the first place.
Right. And well, one other issue I'd like to bring up is, you know, everybody wants to say that cannabis cures cancer. Now, anybody with a science background knows you can't say that. We can say that cannabis kills cancer. As far as cures, until we have 5 years of records showing that patient is in remission for 5 years, then you can say it cures. But until that, you can't. So that's another thing that people have to be very careful when they go out and talk about things. And the other big problem that I see that people really confuse people with is prescription versus referral. There are only 4 people in the United States that have a prescription for marijuana, and that's the federal patient. Every other person out there has a referral.
Right.
And it's very commonly misrepresented all the time. So, you know, we've got to be very careful with our language so that people understand the difference. Because of what they've done, they've castrated our doctors and gotten way in the middle of the doctor-patient relationship with this whole issue with cannabis. So,
yeah. Well, hey, Thomas. We were going to play a song of one of your songs again for listeners that are just tuning in. Take a quick break here and come back to you before we start wrapping things up. Is that good?
Yeah, for sure.
Which
Whichever
song
you
do you
like.
Want to play? Okay. We'll go with a little lighting system fix here. Thanks for calling
okay.
in, Heidi.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night. Good show.
You too.
See you on the news tomorrow.
Lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting systems.
Hydroplex.
Lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting systems.
Hello there, Hydroplex.
Timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers.
We the best, cause we gotta be. It's that new hydroponic technology with the greatest results that there'll ever be. Cause the plants rotate 360 degrees. It's the most innovative growing machine that I ever seen. I love it spinning when it do its thing. It was kinda shocking when we jumped on the scene. Hydroplex keep it popping and we sticking the steam.
Lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting systems. Lighting systems, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers.
Systems got go, broke down closets 2-4-0, single unit stackable, easily assembled. When light source is good to go, combo packs available. Mystery, flow, Mershows, Tom and Ox on turn play, whoa. Jay Dillon with tracks to go, if you don't know, then now you know. We the bomb, hydroplexonline.com, turn it on, and you gon' get to purchase one. Reduce all your energies, no more field, increase yield remedy. That's why you need
lighting systems, lighting systems. Lighting systems, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers.
1999, for a limited time, you get yours and I get mine. Watch it grow, just to grind. Hydroplex is on your mind. Open eyes and see the signs. Open wide and be the kind that invests in himself, that expresses with his wealth. You gon' prosper with the smell. I bet it pays for itself. So now you in business, you gotta take it and live it. And ain't no way you forget it. So remember this. Who's your daddy?
Lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting systems. Lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, lighting systems, lighting systems, lighting systems.
Hello there, Hydroplex.
Timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers, lighting system, timers.
Hello there, Hydroplex.
Awesome. On the line with us is Tom Acevedo, President of United States Medical Marijuana Chamber of Commerce. Hello, we're back.
Yep.
Hooray. We had another question for you.
Yeah, we had another question. So we were asking, are there state chapters or city chapters that people can get involved with?
Yeah.
Especially in Arizona.
I've got it's a city chapter right now, and we're building it from here. We'd like to see at some point have a state leader deal with all the different cities. So again, we're in a building phase right now, and over the next few months, we're going to be doing a lot of trade shows and promotional work, and we're getting memberships over every day. So again, it's growing at a good rate, and I'd like to see grow more. And again, we're following all the news articles and all the different stuff that's happening, and trying to do as many press conferences and press releases as we can, because we did the Connecticut press conference last week. Fox News picked it up, and they were very optimistic about it. They're very positive, and it was a great opportunity for us to get some good press. And when people see that on the Fox, on the news, it ran every, I think it ran 20 times between the 2nd of October to 3rd of October on Fox News and on NBC and CBS. That is a great way to reach the masses. And when you get that positive press, a lot of people start to see the lighter side of things. And that's what we need to do. We need to get more in the mass media, in the mainstream media. And a lot of this is done, you see it a little bit on the news, but sometimes I know there's been some bad press in Illinois. They just found that huge field, and that wasn't good for the industry, And again, we have to get our professionals in the industry out there in the media talking to the general public, and I think that's what's going to take in order to get the masses to really start taking this a lot more seriously. It boils down to, us working to get as much in the media as possible. And again, you've got the Weeds TV show. You've got a bunch of different people out there that are getting the media. You know, you've got, May trade shows starting to sprout up everywhere. So I think that as time progresses, we're going to see a lot more positive press in the news, and that's one of the things that we need to do in order to start swaying a lot of the people from thinking that this is such a negative thing to begin with.
Absolutely. Positive education. Is there anything you want to say as we wrap up here? We just have a little bit of time left on the show to read off a little more news of our own. Wanted to say thank you so much for coming here, but tell us a little more if you want.
Well, I wanted to say thank you for letting me come out and talk. I'm always available for any more information, and I think that we'll keep in touch after the show, and I'll definitely get Mr. Benezzi out there in Tucson over. He works at a local collective, and he's been working on getting us more members and whatnot, and helping us network out there in Arizona. And I haven't been out to Tucson yet, but again, one of the things that I'd like to just remind is that the spinner machine is a fantastic device for cultivating medical-grade cannabis, and it would work perfectly with the state laws because each individual unit holds 12 plants and can be locked. And I think it's definitely something that we'd like to get a very nice model set up going in Tucson that we can use as a reference to, you know,
how
people are
cultivating.
Absolutely. We'll get it done.
And now, how do people get in touch with you after this show? How do they call you, email?
They can email me at Leto, L-E-T-O, at usmmcoc.com. They can contact our 1-800 line, which is 888-420-7775. And, again, the website is www.usmmcoc.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for
staying
up late and hanging out with us so long. And we appreciate the songs. We'll probably play up mix later on before we end the show. It's nice and chill. And again, thank you so much. And we will definitely stay in contact.
Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Have a great
night.
Have
a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Awesome. That was great.
Really nice guy.
It's so funny when that goes off air. I always wonder, are we on?
Are we on?
But it says on air. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you guys are all still out there listening. We just have about 20 minutes left here to do a little bit of Weed Day stuff.
Yeah. I was actually looking at some Weed Day stuff. And
what
the
you
Mary
got
Jane
there?
Survival Guide.
Number four.
Page 9.
What's in that?
There's a nice little place that we all know and love. Some Weed Health Center.
All right.
Under here, medicine providers and education and certificates and be smart, be safe.
Educate.
All of it. It's all here.
That's great. That's a great little guide.
You guys can pick up your Mary Jane Survival Guide.
Yeah, it's a patient guide, and it's got recipes and a lot, many different articles on legal issues, and it's actually got a little section in there that patients love.
If you're trying to get someone educated about medical cannabis,
do it. MJSurvival.com.
Really good. Or just come on down here to Tumbleweeds.
Even better. Come say hello, and we'll just give you one of these.
There's some great staff, great volunteers here giving out some great, great information.
Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to say medication. Speaking of that, you can say it. You know, we started the show off with a little Tucson Weekly reading, and we can do a little more here of that. They've got today's article that came out. I don't know if you have it up there. Pending inspection, Green Halo is poised to become Arizona's first medical marijuana dispensary. The first medical marijuana dispensary in the state could very well be in Tucson, and it could be one soon. it could be open soon if the state crosses a few T's and dots some I's. And I'm reading this at TucsonWeekly.com in the opinion section, MMJ. We're ready to open doors pending their inspection, said Ken Sobel, who plans two local dispensaries under the name Green Halo, one at 7710 South Wilmot Road near Interstate 10, and one at 4045 East 29th Street, just east of Alvernon. So Green Halo was the first dispensary operator in the state to call for a site inspection, which is the last step before opening. Green Halo told the Department of Health Services on September 29th that the Wilmot Road site is ready. As of October 5th, the state had not responded. The rules are a bit vague, according to Sobel, but it appears the DHS has about 45 days, in quotes, to inspect the building and either approve or reject the application. Sobel is sure the site, which has all of the necessary city approvals, will pass. We've done everything we can do, he said recently. The opening of a dispensary would cap a lengthy process that began after the state published the rules last year. Green Halo, a different entity from the Green Halo Caregiver Collective, which was busted by the Counter Narcotics Alliance in July, put together something in the neighborhood of 1,200 pages of documentation on everything from occupancy approved by the city to the square footage of the lobby. It has to be at least 25% of the total square footage, which can't be more than 2,500, to the qualified dispensary agent. Background check, thank you very much. It's not easy. It's probably the most regulated small business you can imagine, Sobel said.
He doesn't think that the state initial selling stalling. The system is new, and there have been a few glitches, including problems with dispensary agents, login at the DHS website. Sobel thinks the DHS is acting in good faith and will clear the glitches soon. He hopes so, in any event, because he has done everything possible to open quickly. We have patients who need safe access to medication. We felt obligated to open as soon as possible, he said. By last week, the state issued 33 dispensary registration certificates statewide, including the two for Green Halo. All were doled out after the lottery on August 8th. And if you count the Pasco Yaqui National San Javier and the San Javier District, of the total Autumn Nation. There was 15 dispensary zones, community health analysis areas, and around Metro Tucson. No one applied to open in those three areas. The city's west side and tribal lands. By late last week, the state had issued regulation certificates in five local CHOTs. Of those, the Green Halo had asked for an inspection.
Wow, it seems the train has left the station. Because the rules are set, it would take a court order to halt the opening of dispensaries now, said DHS spokeswoman Carol Vack. She didn't see anything in the rules that would allow the DHS to stop the dispensaries. Rumors are flying about other dispensary openings, but other operators are keeping mum. Perhaps they're waiting to see how Green Halo fares before wading in. Props to Green Halo for forging a path for the others. Now I guess we just hurry up and wait. I have long had a sneaking suspicion that Governor Jan and Generalissimo Horn will step in once again to block the opening of dispensaries, but it seems they are running out of reasons to do so. So it looks like maybe mid-November, something like that, maybe, if they approve it. If not, then they're going to probably postpone it for some other whatever reason that they decide.
And Green Halo is the only one that's gotten that far.
Yeah, so far they're the ones that have what they said applied for their inspection, which is huge. That means they've complied under all the rules, and they're waiting like everybody else is. Let's see here. Yeah, we had some news here, and Mr. Lito talked a little bit about Connecticut's medical cannabis law that's taking effect, and yeah, let's see. We've got
some events that are coming up.
Well, you know what? Let's do it. Let's talk about some events, because then we've got some fun things to read before we wrap up, before we know it's going to be over. You know what? This weekend is AIDS Walk.
Amongst many other things.
That's a big
group of our patients.
That is a huge group. And Tumbleweeds Health Center is helping to sponsor, one of the sponsors. And also, it has Team Tumbleweeds Health Center. If you'd like to walk, join Team Tumbleweeds Sunday, October 14th. Come down at 8 o'clock. You can register
at AIDSWalkTucson.org, or just go right on the SAFE website, which is SAAF.org.
Or TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com, and
they
you
have
can
a nice
click
little
a button
link.
There.
They're a friend.
Yep. That's going to be awesome. Saturday
is
Tucson Pride, and AZ for Normal is going to be there.
So if you guys are interested out there, friends of gays and everyone around.
Friends of the gays. The gays.
Pride is going to be downtown, along with Tucson Meet Yourself, which AIDS Walk has teamed up with.
Yes.
At
Armory Park, right?
Pride's going to be at Armory Park.
Right.
And
The
13th, which is Saturday. But Tucson Meet Yourself is all downtown in the Yakima Plaza
Awesome. And the old state building, it's lots of food trucks and good food and cultural stuff going on all weekend long.
Tumbleweeds Health Center will have a booth down there, as well as AZ for Normal and Safe.
And Safe. And you guys are going to be, and Tumbleweeds is going to be handing out information and stuff at AIDS Walk.
Yep,
so,
absolutely.
Come down, meet everyone, meet how to get more involved with
Tumbleweeds. Talk to the folks at Tumbleweeds, find out how to get certified, how to get your medicine safely, and
all the education you need.
All the education you, yes, can get drowned by.
To be a
also,
good cannabis smoker
speaking of
and user.
Tumbleweeds Health Center, they are celebrating their 1 year anniversary
Woo-hoo!
Next month. Woo!
Tumbleweeds. Exciting.
Yeah, let's have some applause for Tumbleweeds. Mm-hmm. November 10th, 2012.
Wow, that is soon. That
yeah,
is right
that's
the corner.
A month from today. They're going to have all sorts of fun things.
Does Tumbleweeds have anything planned?
Oh, huge.
Week?
Huge events. Music, prizes. We're going to have a spinning weed wheel.
Oh,
and
wow.
You're going to win prizes, free memberships, you know, joints, pre-rolls, fun things like that, discounts on accessories, maybe some cool pens, lighters, you know, fun things.
Mm-hmm.
So come
Not
down.
To mention, you get the education for free here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's totally awesome. So check that out. Normal conference, October. That's over.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no, actually, fun. It's this Saturday.
What? No.
October 13th.
It says the 3rd through the 6th.
Oh, I say AZ for normal. Oh, that's
yeah.
October 13th.
Well, wrong one. National Marijuana Business Conference. Let's skip that. And VIP Gala.
Well, yeah. National
that's November 8th to the
9th. Yeah, 8th to 9th in Denver, Colorado.
Colorado. A harm reduction conference, November 15th through the 18th.
All those places would really be fun to go to right now.
Let's just go. Let's just go. Let's take time.
On location.
Who's got an RV? Who's got there? I know who has an RV. Clean that out.
Self-star.
Fill it up with gas. Let's do this. Tumbleweeds is going on the road. And the 25th annual Cannabis Cup Amsterdam, November 2012. I know someone's out there buying my ticket online right now for that because that's my birthday month. So, you know, we're going for that. What else? There was something else. I can't even think about it.
I just wanted to talk about a little new product that I picked up the other day.
What did you get?
I got a new vaporizer, and it's filled with an all-organic vaping tonic called Holy Smokes.
And what is that? What do you do with that?
You could mix it
with...
Can you
put your cannabis in there?
You could put your cannabis in there if you knew how to make a really good tincture.
Oh.
Which
okay.
I'm hearing isn't that bad to have
no.
in the state of Arizona, like
yeah.
they said it was.
No, not at all.
So
Holy Smokes, it's organic
yeah.
Vaping oil.
Mm-hmm. Organic vaping tonic.
It's like an aromatherapy.
Yes.
For your
for your soul.
For your soul.
Mm-hmm.
For your lungs there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what does it help with? What is it? What do you
there's,
Holy Smokes do for you?
There's a five different categories that it falls under, depending on, you know, what the effect that you want. Kind of like a nice cup
non-nicotine.
Of tea. Non-nicotine.
Okay, so it's
but like
a
nice
kind
of cup of tea at the end of the day, even
See,
in the morning.
Feeling relaxed
yeah.
already.
Breathing it in. Breathing in plants makes
Being
you bigger,
present.
Faster, stronger, and
Being
a lot
in the moment.
More sexier.
Ow!
Sexy breath
oh.
is what we're saying.
There we go. Sexy
so.
Souls.
Tumbleweeds should soon be carrying
yes,
it.
Yes, this weekend.
This weekend, yes.
You can come get them at Tumbleweeds Health Center.
And any education.
15 flavors.
15 different.
Soul healing flavors.
Soul healing flavors. That's a good one. I like that. I like that.
Soul healing. Awesome. Well, that's great. Yeah, and they have these beautiful little pens. They come with
yeah.
all sorts. You can get them little packs. You can mm-hmm. get all sorts of nifty things. Come to Tumbleweeds and we will show you those. We have our favorite book. Empathy, food for thought. I know.
Oh, this is a
cannabis
good one.
Kids
tonight,
laughing already. I know.
Well,
I look,
you know our favorite
Tony the Tiger.
Tony
I see.
The Tiger cereal guy.
Oh my gosh.
Who is you know? It's got the Eye of the Tiger song, which played
Eye
with Frosted Flakes. Is the
right.
cereal?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Sorry, I won't say anymore.
So we've got Tony the Tiger. He looks like he's totally lost it.
You
but
see
it
that.
Says. Misleading and
oh,
false advertising.
Oh, he's like 300 pounds.
And he's like 300 pounds. He's sitting in this little lazy boy chair, and he's got the TV on. The room is pitch black. It looks like it's midnight, maybe even later. He's got bowls of empty cereal bowls all around him.
Oh.
The milk is right next to him, and he's now out of milk because some of it is spilled onto the floor. Frosted mini wheats, frosted
Frosted Flakes are his ottoman that he's putting his feet up on.
Oh, boxes of fresh.
And
he's
got boxes of Rice Krispie treats on the side, and he's handfuls of Smacks, which is the frog Smacks, honey Smacks.
Super Sugar Smacks.
Super Sugar Smacks. And he's just shoveling it in his mouth. And it looks like he's been up for days, but
it looks like
really
he's in
tired.
A sugar coma. That's what he looks like.
So it says misleading and false advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
365,000 deaths usually. 365,000 deaths annually in the United States are due to poor diet and physical inactivity, meaning just being a couch potato and eating yourself to death. Nick Stace, director of communications at the Customer Association, said breakfast cereals have a healthy image, yet our outreach shows that big brand manufacturers are lacing cereals with such high levels of sugar and salt that it is no wonder that we have the public health crisis on our hands. Researchers are also found that servings of Kellogg's, All Brand, Quaker Oat Crunch, and Nestle Golden Grahams. Oh, I love that cereal. I love Golden Grahams. Contained four times the amount of salt as a 25-gram bag of roasted peanuts.
Oh.
Wow. Foods with hydrogenated fats or oils contain trans fats, which, like saturated fats, have been shown to raise blood cholesterol levels and are linked to increased risk of heart disease. So they're killing us through our breakfast cereal, pretty much what this said.
Excuse me, of course they are.
And they're killing Tony the Tiger.
I know. Look what they did to him. That's so sad.
Oh, man.
What happened to Elvis?
You tell us what's going on this side. It looks a little crazy. I don't know if it looks...
Mr.
It definitely
Bell.
Looks happier. It definitely
Bell.
Looks happier.
I wish... I'm going to just put the picture up to the microphone. Can you guys see it through there? Because it's hysterical. I wish I could get this on air live, but this is great. Michael Phelps is standing thigh high in a
in
little
a
pool
really,
of water.
Really
skimpy, all American.
I thought that's his speedo.
Speedo.
Wow.
He's got his 40 something gold medals on. It is a package.
He's got a
with
package.
His water pipe.
And his goggles and his
and his goggles
head
and his in his wonderful little contented. I feel great. Life is good. Smile. That's it.
And it's a nice water pipe.
Yeah, look at that.
Bong.
Beautiful.
Glass.
It says, why not? Testimonial of health and performance.
Yeah.
Hello.
Look at how many
Hello.
Gold medals he has.
Guy was not a couch potato.
Seriously.
Although no anti-doping rule was violated, swimming champ Michael Phelps, winner of 8 Olympic gold medals in Beijing 2008, was suspended from competition and denied financial support for 3 months by USA Swimming after a photo was posted on the internet showing him smoking marijuana out of a bong out of a private party. He also lost his sponsorship deal with Kellogg's.
I'm sure he's going to find a lot more sponsorships once everything's legalized.
And that's it. That's all they have to say. Because seriously, why not?
Because why would you want to be on the front of a cereal box?
Look what happened to Tony after eating, America's healthy products for his entire life. He turned into, an unhealthy, unmotivated, sad, depressed character. Okay. And Michael Phelps is...
He's staying away from cereal
boxes. He's taking cannabis daily. He's swimming like a madman, winning gold medals for our country.
Yeah.
Hello, why not?
I wonder how stressful it is to be an Olympic champion.
Oh, hello.
And
who needs who wouldn't need a little relaxation?
Who needs a little edge? Take the edge off.
How
inflamed
are those muscles? Anti-inflammatory.
Who wouldn't want that?
All that exercise, he could use a little munchies. I'm sure he needs a little extra protein.
Hey, or a little bit of extra high 24 grams of sugar. he might need to start eating some cereal in the morning.
Not Frosted Flakes.
Not Frosted.
Kashi. Come on now.
Kashi.
Come on now.
Now we're name dropping.
Did we? Oops. Tell me, Tell Center's not a sponsor of Kashi Frosted. Okay. We have 2 minutes left. We have to run through something really fast, don't we? Commercial?
What do you want
to
run through?
Oh my gosh. We haven't even announced anybody. Arizona Med Testing.
Yes. Arizona Med
Holy
Testing.
Holy Toledo.
Meditation.
They test for aliens. Hang on. We've got a whole flipping list of what they test for.
Oh, we got a little
it's
crazy.
It's so there. Important. You know what? I'm going to make you read the big words. AZ Med Testing offers medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. Through scientific methodology, we extract the cannabinoid percentages from the medicine and provide analytical reporting for each cannabinoid characteristic.
Sorry.
They test for alien matter study, which we are always, like, we get those microscopes out, you know, those 1 million times, and we're looking deep in there, can't find any yet. Cannabinoid surveys, you know, they ask their little cannabinoids how they're feeling today, what they've been up to, if their lights are nice, things like that. Microbiological evaluations, we won't even go there, that's deep. Moisture presence analysis, pests and fungi evaluation. They have some great little nifty charts they print out for you. They're beautiful. They tell you your THC, CBD, CBN levels. And we would also like to thank Growers House. Speaking of hydroponics and growing and things like that, if you live in the Tucson area or shop for hydroponics online, visit Growers House at 227 East Valencia. They just celebrated a year.
Yay.
Nice Growers House. Oh, awesome. GrowersHouse.com for wholesale price hydroponics equipment. Yeah, family, father, son, and a bunch of great guys. Not sure if there are girls. It's just a rumor. We're hearing there's girls working there. But we would like to, yeah, it's a rumor. We would like to, in closing, thank Mr. Thomas Lito.
Thank you, Thomas.
And I know we kind of blew it with the time zone, but I know his friends were waiting by. So thank you,
and
friends.
And hanging in there for so long.
And staying up so late. Yeah. That was great. Again, Growers House, AZ Med Testing, and TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com for hosting this awesome show. And don't forget to join Tumbleweeds Health Center at the AIDS Walk this Sunday, 8 a.m. Join Team Tumbleweeds. Come out and walk with us. Next week is going to be really fun. We have an in-house guest. This is going to be great. Doug Fine.
I don't know if I'm ready for an in-house guest.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be great. We might have to make this one
like
to our
hard
show. Who knows? Oh, it's going to be awesome.
We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. Farewell, my Subaru. Check it out. He's awesome. We've got the Project CBD coming up.
What?
American Cannabis Nurses Association.
Oh.
Holy smokes. We've got a ton
make
of people
your head spin.
Up. It's spinning.
Make your head spin.
You can support our federal patient, Irvin Rosenfeld, and buy his book here for $20. You can support Cash Hyde, one of the youngest cannabis patients in the country, and buy a bracelet for him. It's $5. Lots going on at Tumbleweeds Health Center. Come on down, 5301 East Broadway, Tucson, Arizona.
You can also listen to past episodes on iTunes on Weeds Day Wednesday. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Have a great night. Remember,
be safe.
Be smart.
Be safe.
No, be smart.
Be safe. No?
Be smart.
Be smart.
Be safe.
Be safe.
And educate.
And educate.
Yay. Awesome.
One more time.
Are you ready? Are you sure you want to do that? Remember.
Be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.
Oh, blowing that one up.